the verse says, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. Now let's understand what that verse is saying. It is not that we know not what to pray for. It is we know not what to pray for as we ought. There is a quality and a standard expected in our prayers that we do not even have the consciousness of because of our infirmities. But the Spirit helps us with our infirmities. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So in us and in the presence of God, the Spirit of God is making intercession. Because consciously we do not know really how we ought to pray. But the Spirit of God makes intercession. That's the only. Then in heaven, in the very presence of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he also makes intercessions for us. The wonderful thing that every believer has, according to the Word of God, is the divine intercession of the Spirit of God on earth and the Lord Jesus in heaven. It's on the basis of this that we can make intercession for one another. See, if divine persons weren't doing it for us, we wouldn't have the power, the sense, the knowledge, the desire, the heart to make intercessions for one another. But divine persons are making it for us. That's a privilege that we have. Now, with every privilege comes responsibility. And that responsibility is seen in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4 I'll read. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy is a very good place to raise this question of intercession. 1 Timothy was written by Paul, written to Timothy, whom he had encouraged and begged to remain in Ephesus. And 1 Timothy treats the house of God. And when we read about the house of God, the first mention that we read about the house of God and its function is in Isaiah chapter 56. My house shall be for all nations a house of prayer. What a thing that Timothy should be given this theme, the house of God, when prayer is one of the essentials in the house of God. And here in the second chapter, the apostle makes a beeline for the reason for the house of God in this sense. Prayer. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, and intercession. So first he says, it's the house of God. Chapter 3 and verse 15 lays out the theme of 1 Timothy. That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So in the house of God, we are expected, this is our responsibility, to pray. Because it's a house of prayer. When they did not recognize this, the Lord Jesus said, you made it a den of thieves. So, brethren, here's the challenge. We either do what the Lord wants, or we do what we feel like doing. How much better with divine intercession on our part to be able to do what the Lord wants. I will, therefore, Now, why does he say this? There are two things from chapter 1 I want to draw to our attention. First of all, in chapter 1, verse 3. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So when Paul said to Timothy, please remain in Ephesus, he had a reason, that they must only teach the doctrine that belongs to the house of God. There are those who want to teach everything else. There are those who want to teach what they feel like teaching. But here he's saying, I besought you to remain in Ephesus so that you may charge them to teach no other doctrine. So first, to be able to function in the house of God according to the mind of God, we have to go by the doctrine of the house of God. Then secondly, there is discipline in the house of God. That is found in verses 18 to 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Simply from this section, there is either the discipline in the house, the doctrine in the house of God, and when the doctrine is not adhered to, there's the discipline. And let us understand this. When discipline is administered in the house of God, it's not to say, good riddance, we got rid of you. No, it's not that. That's why in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, I will therefore, I exhort therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Discipline is to control fleshly behavior. When faith, a reach towards God, and a good conscience, keeping short accounts with myself, when those have failed, he says discipline must be administered. But when discipline is administered, it is with a view to restoration. And consequently, we pray for those who have to be disciplined. It's either the discipline, the doctrine, or the discipline. I will therefore that. For first of all, supplications. What are supplications? I'd like to give this little outline idea and share it with you so that you can look it up and check to see if it works. Supplications, we are told, deals with how. How. It is earnest pleading for special needs arising out of particular circumstances. Supplication. Earnest pleadings for special needs arising out of particular circumstances. It shows how we pray. When it comes to prayer, it is what we say, what we ask for. We know not what to pray for, what to ask for as we are. When it comes to intercessions, intercessions are pleadings on the part of those who can appeal to God. The first note in your brochure is a quote from Mr. Darby, which says that intercessions are pleadings. Prayer simply is what we say. Supplication, how we say, and intercession, for whom we say. Prayer, what? Supplication, how? Intercession, for whom? And the thought behind this is that not that we should be saying prayers, but that we should be pleading with God, bombarding heaven, so to speak, on the behalf of others. Why does he say this? He says, and giving of thanks, well, that is self-evident, for all men. Earnest pleadings for all men. That we, especially for those who are in authority, pardon me, for all that are in authority. that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. He is desirous in this house of God that there be pleadings made for all men, for unbelievers and for believers. Supplications, getting down and praying for those in authority. In recent years, we've noticed a lot of persons who were saying they support or they do not support those in authority. The scripture never gets into that. It tells us in Romans chapter 13, be subject to authorities. But it tells us here, as members of the house of God, we pray for those that are in authority. Why? So that they may give us favor? That we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That we may manifest Christ however, wherever we are, because the work of Christ is done in us. And then he says to us in verse 3, this is good. This is of God. Remember when the young ruler came and said, good master? The Lord said, why do you call me good? There is only one that is good, that's God. So, praying for those in authority, for all men, seeking to have the heart of God displayed in others, in our prayers, that is good. That is of God. And it's acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Why? Because he will have all men to be saved. There's a, I almost said a fallacy, but I have to say a fallacy gone abroad, that only special people are to be saved. Well, that is right and wrong. It's right in that those who are repentant will be saved. But God holds out his hand to every man. To every man. Christ is the only Savior. So every man is given an opportunity. God desires him to take hold of that opportunity to be saved. And if there's anyone here present in this room who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, here's what he says. He will have all men to be saved. And in this day and age of women's lip, the word here is generic. It refers to males and females. So you will have all men and all women to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is God's mind. He wants us to pray for all so that all may be saved. Then he says, he will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Why? There's only one God. There's only one Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that one mediator between God and man. Next section of this chapter, it says there's testimony out of the house from 5 right through to verse 7. He was a preacher and apostle. Testimony out of the house. And verses 8 to the end, he speaks of conduct that is proper to those in the house. Conduct that is proper to those in the house. So I will that the men pray everywhere. Brethren, how do we pray? You know, one of the worst attended meetings is the prayer meeting. There are those who I come to break bread. And we are all pious in other ways at breaking of bread. But when it comes to exercising the privilege as children to call on the Father, many are missing. Well, intercession tells us we need to pray. Pray earnestly. Pray without ceasing. Pray everywhere. Pray, pray, pray. There's conduct proper to the house. The men pray everywhere. And the women, it says, well, we read it for ourselves. Let us then leave this few thoughts with you. There is divine intercession. The Lord Jesus in heaven the Holy Spirit on earth, divine intercession. That's a privilege that every believer has. You don't have to ask the Lord to pray for you. He is interceding. Doesn't say he shall intercede or he may intercede if you're worthy. No, he intercedes for you. And then in so far as the Spirit of God is concerned, he says the Spirit makes intercession. So there's a privilege that every believer has concerning intercession from divine persons. We know that the Spirit intercedes. We know that the Lord Jesus intercedes. One is in heaven here and the other here on the earth. Privilege for us. But also there's a responsibility associated with that privilege. And they, brethren, are going to introduce examples from the Word of God. For these things that were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through the Scriptures might have patience, through the patience of the Scriptures might have hope. As we look at these men, we're going to see that they are just as we are, men of like passions, men of frailty, men who have weaknesses, yet they recognize the privilege they had, they recognize the responsibility given to them in praying, interceding, and begging on the part of individuals or companies. I go therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions. Earnest pleadings on behalf of those who can come to God. I say this before it goes. As we pray and intercede for individuals, when we see the hand of God at work in them, it gives us something to rejoice. You don't lose when you follow the Word of God. It gives us much to rejoice in, that God has heard and answered, not because of who we are, not because of what we have done, but because of the Spirit of God in us, because of the Lord Jesus in heaven, we have the assurance that God hears and answers. Intercessions, house of God. We can't get ourselves out of the house of God. It's the place that he has put us as his own children in his own house. The prodigal thought, when I went in a far country, I'm out there, I'm no longer in his house. But you know who was looking for him? The Father. When he came to his senses, he said, you know where I belong? I belong to the house. This is not the place for me in a big pen. I belong to the house. Even the servants are bred in the house. Brethren, we're in the house. We belong to the Lord. We have God as our Father. And we have the privilege of interceding. We have the truth that Christ intercedes for us, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The privileges that God has given us also brings responsibility. May he help us in this morning to come and respond to the responsibility that he has given us. For his name's sake. Amen.